Hey everyone, it's Judy from Stirring Words, where Kim and I chat every week about God's wisdom on wellness. Now be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a session. But in the meantime, listen in now on our weekly phone conversation.
Miss Kimberly.
Hello, Judy. It's so great to hear from you today, my sister.
It is good to be heard from, my friend. I have this vision that you have a word of wisdom for us.
Yes, yes, yes. And it is a interesting word of wisdom that the Lord has given to me. And the title of today's session is called The Dirty Secret of Sugar Addiction. And that talk about a provocative title, right? But in any case, I just wanted to share this dirty secret with our listeners, because back when I was 240 pounds, I had a serious problem with sugar. And I've also shared on this podcast that there was a time when I would eat a whole Pepperidge Farm coconut cake by myself. And often when we think about sugar addiction, we focus on what the person is eating, like sugary items like candy, cookies, cake, ice cream, etc., etc., or refined carbohydrates like white rice, white pastas, and enriched breads. But what we miss out on is what the addicted person is not eating. And it's what they are not eating that can lead us to painful and deadly consequences. However, before we discuss that, Judy, I'm going to ask that you please pray for us. And I'm going to ask you also to read the focus scripture, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12.
My pleasure. Heavenly Father, create in all of us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Open our hearts and our minds to hear your word. And by the power of your spirit, move us. We ask it in the name and the power of Jesus the Christ. And 1 Corinthians 6:12, a fan favorite. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
Wow. And you know, my sister, I love that scripture because on my own journey of getting delivered from sugar addiction, I memorized that scripture. But then I also decided to make a paraphrase of it to apply to my situation. And my paraphrase was, I can eat anything, but I shouldn't eat everything. Because you consider it this way. I could put sugar in my car's gas tank. Nobody's stopping me from doing it. So while the car's manufacturer tells us what type of fuel our car is designed to run on in the owner's manual, it doesn't tell us not to put sugar in the gas tank. So while we could put sugar in the gas tank, most of us would not. And why is that? Because most of us already know that putting sugar in the gas tank would cause serious engine damage. We wouldn't engage in self-pity or feel deprived nor resent the car manufacturer because we aren't, unless this is in air quotes, allowed to put sugar in the gas tank. And I say the word allowed loosely because nothing is forbidding us from putting sugar in our gas tank. It is our own personal decision that prevents us from doing it because we don't want the pain and the cost that will come from damaging our car in that way. So, in a similar way, the foods that we choose to put in our bodies is by personal choice. The most empowering attitude regarding the foods that we choose to eat is to own our choices and the benefits or consequences that go with them. And so, listeners, I want you to say this statement with me. I own my choices. And I'm actually going to just share with you just a small experience that I encountered from one of our Take Back Your Temple members recently. And one of the things that she mentioned is that she can't have this particular food. And one of the things that I wanted her to consider is that as an adult, that she could have that particular thing. But instead of saying, I can't, to say the words, I choose not to. Because when you say, I can't, then what that does is it has the tendency to stir up a rebellious spirit. As in, somebody else is making me do this. But when you say, I choose to, then that puts the empowerment back on you, where you're telling yourself, as an adult, I have the power to make my own choices. I have the power to own my choices. And that, like I mentioned, is such an empowering position to be in. So, Judy, I have a question for you. And I'm just curious about your thoughts about what we're about owning your choices and the power that comes from that. Tell us about your thoughts on that, sister.
First, I want to know why you're so smart.
Girl, you're crazy.
Serious.
That's the Lord.
Because every week I'm like, dang, that's a smart chick. Because a couple of things. The comment about rephrasing, I choose not to versus I can't. Right on the money. As soon as you tell me I can't, oh, you just watch out. I am.
That rebellion.
You know, I might not even want to, but when you say I can't, I'm saying, oh, you watch. So we do. We just have this spirit of rebellion. And so I love that tiny little tweak of rephrasing, rethinking, changing the paradigm, I think they said in the 90s, which is instead of saying, oh, I can't do that, I can't eat this, I can't eat that, say, I choose not to. So I love that. The other words of wisdom that you presented said, we miss what the addicted person is not eating. Ah, I love that. Don't get me started. Do not get me started on this, because this is where Judy stands up, waves her arms wildly and says, okay, you guys, are you kidding me? Look at the bounty God has given us. So Kim, you and I did a series that I think we redid, but I think the first time we did it was in, I know it was August, could have been 21, it could have been 22, but it's called Taste and See. It was a 3-week series.
Oh,
and
yes.
We're like, come on, taste and see all the bounty that God has given. Focus on what you want. Focus on what God has provided, not what you don't want. I mean, I have a fruit and veggie list that I used in the old corporate wellness days under the umbrella of, have you eaten your 9 today, right? 9 fruits and veggies. There are 54 items on that list, and it is not in any way comprehensive. 54 items. Ow, there's nothing that I taste good in these healthy items. Come on, come on, come on, come on. So I am just going to challenge our listeners. I really hope you're following us on Facebook, Holy Health Club on Facebook. And I know, Kim, you Take Back Your Temple on Facebook, chime in as well, have great insightful posts, because we have been doing these generally 2-week, sometimes 3-week challenges. And we did one already that was a 2-week challenge called Choose Wisely. And the whole concept is eat something different. Come on, get out of your rut, explore something new, be creative, embrace God's bounty. So I just applaud what you said. Quit focusing on, ow, I can't eat my coconut Pepperidge farm cake. And look at all the things you can eat. Okay, I'm done ranting.
No, no, no. And that was perfect, actually, Judy. So I appreciate that, because it's the same mistake that Eve in the Garden of Eden made, how the enemy tried to get her to focus on the one tree that God told them not to eat from. And she started considering it and looking at it and ignoring all the other trees that the Lord told her she could freely eat from, or told them, rather, he told Adam. But still, you know, she got the message. So it's the same mistake that we're making today. And so what I was talking about here is, you mentioned it, what people are not eating. And Judy, I'm going to insert this here too, because it just came to me about the popularity of weight loss pills these days, you know, like Ozempic, Mounjaro, something else, Wegovy, I think is another one. But the whole focus of those pills is to make the person eat less. And the problem that I have with that, and it's not condemnation, so listeners, don't get me wrong if you're taking these pills, but are taking one of them. So it's not about condemnation, but one of the things to consider is your body still needs certain nutrients to function. And so just simply eating less does not really give your body those nutrients that it needs in order to heal, energize, and nourish itself, so that you can feel and function your best. So simply eating less does not get to the root of the problem. So, okay, I'm off my soapbox there. But here we go. It's what people are not eating that can lead to painful and deadly consequences, like I said. And so typically what happens is the addicted person is usually not eating fiber that God packaged in fruits and vegetables, nor drinking enough water, which helps to keep our digestive systems healthy. And because of this lack, and here's the dirty secret, many people are suffering from diseases that affect their bowel elimination. Once again, that's the dirty secret of sugar addiction. Because sugar, yes, I'm going to get into it, Judy. I'm going to be bold here. Because sugar addiction has left many people suffering from chronic constipation. Yes, I said it. Constipation. I said that word. And besides chronic constipation, lack of adequate fiber intake can contribute to various diseases, and that includes irritable bowel syndrome, diverticulitis, leaky gut syndrome, hemorrhoids, and this is something very serious. It can contribute to colon cancer. Now, I know that some people might find this subject embarrassing, but from my perspective, even if just one person hears this and start turning things around, this is a matter of life and death. So when we don't eat the food that the Lord intended for our digestive system to function properly, our guts become sluggish, they become inflamed and irritated. And I have heard, Judy, of some people who only eliminate every 2 or 3 days. And this is not normal. Now, this is something shocking that I read maybe a couple of years back. And it proves to us that no one is immune to this phenomenon, because chronic constipation even killed the beloved entertainer Elvis Presley, according to his physician, Dr. George Nicopoulos. And this is what Dr. Nicopoulos said. Now, we know that it was well known when Elvis was alive that he favored a diet of sweets and junk food. And the man-made food trap deceived him, and it took his life. Now, Dr. Nicopoulos said that Elvis's intestines were 2 to 3 times larger than normal due to the waste his body failed to eliminate. And I know at the time they said that he died of a heart attack. I think he was only in his late 40s when he died, I believe. But they said that they publicized the fact that he died of a heart attack. But Dr. Nicopoulos said that really was not true. It was the chronic constipation that ended up killing him, the effects of that. And at the time, they found it too embarrassing to admit the truth about how he really died. So they just said it was a heart attack when it really wasn't. But think about this. Man stripped all the good fiber and all the nutrients from corn, beets, and sugarcane to yield the white powder that we know as table sugar. So I highly recommend going to YouTube and searching for a video called How Sugar is Made from Sugarcane. And I'm also going to post this video link on our podcast resource page at Take Back Your Temple. You'll see the podcast menu item. And when you watch this video, you're going to see all of the processing that takes place to remove every bit of nutrition from sugarcane. And it's quite shocking when you see all of those steps that have to take place to yield that white powder from ordinary sugar cane, which contains the fiber that God put in it. So, Judy, I'm going to ask you to share your thoughts, sister, about what people don't eat that can cause damage.
I just love the idea of focusing on God's bounty. You said it right out of the box. Quit talking and whining about all those foods that are your faves that you've got to give up. Instead, focus on what you can, should, focus on what's helpful. Again, back to 1 Corinthians, right? 6:12. And I have decided, the Spirit, assuming the Spirit confirms, after this session, that I'm going to do a series entitled Eat, capital E, capital A, capital T, exclamation point. Because
that sounds
wonderful. Called to eat and should be celebrating all that we can eat. And I'm going to do a whole series called, or a whole session called Fabulous Fiber, because a lot of the diets have people counting calories. And, you know, some in the old corporate wellness days, we used to do campaigns, and you got to know, we're headed into one on Facebook, on Holy Health Club on Facebook, counting fruits and veggies. And are you getting 9 a day? No, it ain't 5 a day anymore. That's old school. It's 9 a day. But how many of you listeners count your fiber intake? And so basically, y'all probably know, but the term fiber, it's those carbohydrates that can't be digested, but they're valuable because, like Kim said, they sort of clean out the system. And they're present primarily in plant-based foods, fruits, vegetables, grains, whole grains, not pummeled grains, whole grains, legumes, beans. So not only does it make you regular, as Kim said, it actually lowers your risk of some pretty, very, very serious illnesses, including, interestingly enough, diabetes and heart disease. So I have a couple of videos that y'all might want to go to holyhealthclub.com and watch. One's called Eat Real Food. One's called Granny's Grub. They're going to be coming up on our Facebook campaign. But basically, processed foods are fiber anemic. So back to counting your fiber intake. So what should it be? Recommendations are minimum 20 grams a day, right? So where am I going to get them? High fiber foods. Okay, beans. I have a whole video called Bravo Beans. Peas, loaded with fiber. Split pea soup. Oh my gosh, it's like full of fiber. Chickpeas in all your salads, your casseroles, whole grains. Like if I had to do a pantry purge in your pantry, Mr. or Ms. Listener, if I found quick oats, I might blow a fuse, because that is pummeled oats, fiberless oats. So come on, your life isn't that busy that you can't take 5 minutes to make your oatmeal in the morning instead of the gooey, gushy, nutrient void quick oats. I'm telling you, that sends me quick oats. Anyway, so just there's so many foods that are loaded with fiber, berries, Brussels sprouts, kale. So please join us on Facebook at Holy Health Club. We're just pounding out these ideas and screaming at each other. I did it. Eating what is helpful. Okay.
Yeah, that was a great message, Judy. I'm so looking forward to your Eat series as well. So I do want to say one thing, though, and this is to our listeners. Don't think about saying, I got to give this up. No, you're choosing to choose healthy foods. You're choosing that I choose to versus I can't. So remember that statement. We mentioned that before, but it's about owning your choices. So let's continue on now, because even the Bible warns us about even consuming too much honey, which is a good sweetener. It's one God created. So let's look at some scriptures about that. And the scripture that I came up with is Proverbs chapter 25, verse 16. And it says, have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit. Talk about I mean, I hear you over there snickering, Judy.
Lest you bark.
You're snickering.
Lest you
but
bark.
Hey, God tells it like it is through his holy prophets and his leaders. So that's you can't really, misconstrue that one. And then Proverbs chapter 25, verse 27, and it says, it is not good to eat much honey. So to seek one's own glory is not glory. So even when you see something good like that, it can be harmful if you eat too much of it. So that's why we need to be wise with our food choices and wise with the amount that we consume as well. As it's important to be sure that we feel and function our best to fulfill our God-given calling. So just think about, even as we're talking about honey here, just think about what man-made sweeteners do. So to avoid the pain and the cost of disease, I want our listeners here to think about replace when it comes to your food choices. And by this, I mean to replace sugary items in your eating pattern with foods that help you eliminate smoothly, full of fiber, just like Judy was talking about, and keep your digestive system healthy. And this is how I think about fiber, Julie. I always think about brushes. You know how you brush things off your clothes or sweep the kitchen or something like that? I always think about fiber as brushes, that it's sweeping out the colon of waste and helping to keep our colons clean. And one of my favorite foods to use to replace my desire for sweets is baked sweet potatoes. I love those things. And I bake them, depending on the size, for 40 minutes to 1 hour in a 400-degree oven until the juice runs out. And they're so sweet by the time they're cooked fully is that all you need to add is cinnamon and nutmeg to your taste. And as Judy mentioned, other potential replacements are low-sugar fruits like apples, pears, and berries of all kinds, strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, all of these things. So, because once again, think about it. You can eat anything. As an adult, you get a chance to choose, but you shouldn't eat everything. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That's what the word of the Lord says. So keeping a peaceful mindset is important, both having peace with your food choices and during elimination. So, Judy, I'm bringing this dirty secret out into the open so that we can all be healthier. So let's get moving and grooving so we can all do our business so that we're able to get on with our Father's business. So actually, in closing, what I'm going to do.
I can't believe you said that, actually. Go, girl.
Are you still snickering?
I am.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you.
I'm trying to restrain myself some without making bad noises. Okay, go. Sorry.
That's hilarious. I'm sorry. It is fun. It is funny until you're the one that's on the toilet and having to strain and bear down and deal with hemorrhoids and whatnot. Oh, that's TMI. Okay, all right, I'll stop. But here, let me go ahead and give the action invitation. Oh my gosh, Lord. Okay, so the action invitation is to read and meditate upon 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. And what I recommend is keeping a food journal or use an app for at least 1 week to discover any patterns of consuming sugary items. Is it a certain period of time, certain time of the day that you go pick that thing up? Or is it a certain emotion that you feel is driving you to go get that so you numb yourself to that emotion that you don't want to feel? Or do you have friends that you feel like, hey, if I say I don't want that, they'll look at me funny. It's a social influence. Use that app or food journal to discover your pattern of consuming sugary items. And then the second thing is to ask the Lord in prayer. Just say, Lord, what am I seeking as a reward in consuming these items? For example, do you see sugar as a way to say I deserve it, to feel special, or use it as a stress reliever? Or use it as emotional Novocaine. And we know that Novocaine is a numbing agent that dentists use when they're working on your mouth, when they're working on your teeth, or any other reason. Ask the Lord to give you courage to face that real thing, that reward that you're seeking. And then finally, ask the Lord to reveal replacements that you can use to meet your real emotional needs that doesn't involve food, plus give your body the foods that it needs to feel and function your best. And what's so interesting, Judy, as I get ready to close out, a scene from the movie The Little Mermaid, the first version, came into my mind. And the Little Mermaid, when she got her legs and she had her new life on the land, she went to the palace and she was using some of the things that she'd heard about wrong. For example, she saw a fork. She was sitting at the table and she thought that you use the fork to style your hair. So she got picked up the fork and she started using the fork to comb her hair. And everybody's looking at her funny, like, what are you doing? And so to me, failing to meet our real needs with food is something similar to that, because God did give us food to heal, energize, and nourish our bodies. But when we're using them to smother emotions or using that as a means to say, I deserve it or something like that, then that's a misuse of what food was meant to do for us. So, Judy, I'm going to go ahead and ask you for your final thoughts, and then I'm going to get ready to pray us out. And of course, I hope that I have given our listeners some food for thought in this session.
You know, I just love the twofold approach that you took today, Kim. One is acknowledging that we're all drawn to sweets, and especially sweets can become comfort foods. But then focusing on what we need, and fiber being one of those important nutrients. So my final thought is just to remind people that you get two for one when you eat things like dates, like figs, prunes, as you mentioned, berries. You put those high fiber sweets, sweet fruits into your whole oats. Then you've started today with a sweet fiber-filled feast. So again, please join us on Facebook at Holy Health Club, because we're talking this stuff week after week, giving you some helpful, healthy prodding.
I love that, Judy. I love that. And our listeners, you will feel so much better when you fill your body with the foods that God created for our bodies to run on, to feel and function our best. Just like we said, just like that car that you put the right fuel in and notice that you don't have the problems that you would have if there was a mismatch between the type of fuel your car requires versus the fuel that you actually choose to put in, like your sugar or rubbing alcohol or something like that. You'd expect to have some car issues if you did that. And so in a similar way, if we put the wrong type of foods in our bodies, then over time that will cause problems. So we don't want that. We don't want the pain, and we don't want the cost that comes from damage in a fuel mismatch. So I'm going to go ahead and pray us out, my sister. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we're so thankful for the wisdom that you give us. We're thankful for the abundant foods that you have given us to enjoy. And Lord, you're the one who created man with taste buds. So you didn't mean for us to eat things that taste like cardboard. You want us to actually enjoy the foods that you have created, foods that taste good, but foods that are also good for us. It's not good enough that we have a food that tastes good, but we know deep down that it's not good for us. We want a win-win situation, and that is what you want for us. So, Lord, we pray that you give the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you in this matter to our listeners. Have your way, Lord. We will give you praise. We will give you glory, and we will give you honor. And it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen, my sister. Amen. And I will say one more thing, that if you've been blessed by Stirring Words and the Lord puts on your heart to become a partner with us through a subscription, then you can check us out at takebackyourtemple.com/donations. Okay, my sister, that's all the Lord gave me this week. And I love you big and pray that you have a wonderful week. And God willing, we will discuss something new next week.
Yes, ma'am. Love you big. Bye.
I love you too, my girl. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Stirring Words. We hope that our podcast is a trusted partner on your wellness journey. If so, please pray about partnering with us in ministry financially and subscribe at takebackyourtemple.com/donation. Keep tuning in on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss a session. And be sure to tell your friends about us. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to reach out to Kim at takebackyourtemple.com and Judy at holyhealthclub.com. Until next week, may you be stirred by God's transformative word.